Great to see you all. And again, it's Father's Day, and we are very excited about that. We're very excited about the men of God. It's just something when you say that, when you say men of God, it just sounds incredible because you're men of God. Mm. There's something that just rises up inside of you when you hear about a man of God, a man of God. What kind of image does that put in your mind? Man of God. Yes. Yep. Mufasa. Well, that'll work too. Man of God. So, as we're just kind of getting started this morning, we're gonna talk some about discernment, and we're talking a little bit about dads today, and we're weaving Father's Day into our discernment message because there's some great tie-ins here where we were going actually already with our message, and I thought I would just rattle off a couple things. Or we would rattle off a couple things maybe that we've learned about being a dad. A couple things that we've learned about being a dad. I would not take notes on these. Maybe leave that for the scripture later. But here's some things I learned about being a dad. Moms do all the work. Dads get all the credit. How many times have you been to a deal where dad decided he was going to maybe grill or something or whatever, and mom's been in the kitchen since Tuesday, cleaning the house and making salads and making desserts and getting sides and wrangling the kids and lining everything up, and everybody came together, and dad put hot dogs on the grill for about 14 seconds, yes. And all you hear the rest of the night, "Dad, this was such an awesome meal. Thanks for cooking tonight. We love it, Dad.
Best
meal ever. Yep. Wow, you're so good, Dad." So that's kind of a cool part about being a dad. We can say things like that today because it's Father's Day. We get extra grace.
You get away with whatever you want today.
Not
it's a free
actually,
pass.
Really, but let's see. Something else I've learned about being a dad. It's a 24/7 gig. This thing happens a lot. Like kind of when you put the on switch on being a dad, there's never a pause button. And some days you would love to have a pause button. Some days you'd love to have a pause button for really good reasons. How many times we've said lately, wish I could just stop this moment right here. Just freeze this moment in time. You guys ever had that, either as kids or as adults? Like, I want to just stop this moment and just, how can I soak? You feel like you run out of capacity to soak in the moment. And I know you've kind of talked about those moments before. And just, we wish we could just soak it in, but dads, like, it's happening all the time. It's a good thing. It's also a scary thing because John Maxwell says, "You teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are." So maybe you don't feel like you're the best teacher, or I don't know how to. You know, I want my kids to be godly, but I don't really know how to tell them about the Bible or whatever. Hey, don't worry. They're learning. They're learning something. And they're watching your life, and it's 24/7, which is a little creepy because that means that they're watching when I'm sleeping.
Yes.
Anyways, they're watching all the time, and they're emulating your life. You watch little Callie now, wherever she's at. It's so funny. She'll look over, and whatever we're doing, then she'll kind of copy that now. And that's what toddlers do. That's how they learn. They emulate. Well, we kind of absorb that from our parents in our lives, good things and the bad things. Any of you, don't raise your hands, but any of you guys, especially if your parents are here, any of you guys ever ended up with a character trait in your life that maybe wasn't positive and you're like, "Oh, my dad does that or my mom does that." 24/7, dads, we are on. This thing is, they're watching our lives, so it's so important that we steward our lives well. What else? I've learned that often the little things are the big things. I can tell by that response that you guys know that that's true. Often the little things are the big things. And we feel like, especially as dads, we're kind of want to go for it, you know, or whatever. And, you know, we have this vision of, you know, if we're going to buy a boat, well, we want to boat. If we're going to get a motor, we want the biggest motor, right? Like, we're kind of going to do this thing. And there's all this other little frilly stuff that it doesn't matter, but we're going to do the big thing. But it's all the little stuff in between the big things that really make the relationship. That's what really makes life with Dad. That's what really passes along our heart, our experiences, our love, our quirks, our downfalls. And we need to pray often and diligently that our kids bypass some of those and pray for our own hearts that God is continually, that's why we want to be growing, guys. That's why we want to be continually being fashioned into the image of Christ day in and day out, because little eyes are watching and big eyes are watching even.
Yeah, when we went to our trip to Georgia over Christmas vacation, like our kiddo's greatest memory, and they'll tell you this, is we got stranded at the Holiday Inn in Watertown, South Dakota on the way back. And so that was like, for them, that was like the coolest thing. Like, here we are at the Watertown Holiday Inn. And we had just been in Georgia. We drove all the way to Georgia for a week vacation. And their memory is the Watertown Holiday Inn. We should have saved ourselves 20 hours, folks. And I mean, but that's the thing. Like, it's taking advantage of those little moments kind of thing.
Yep. We so often want things to be right. And just kind of, we get focused on the wrong thing. And it's all these other little things that these kids are soaking in the moment. I've learned that a job is a poor replacement for a family.
Amen. Amen.
We started family nights when our kids were probably about 3. I talk about this a lot because it's been such a huge thing in our life. We were realizing that building our house and, you know, working at the church and just kind of doing everything that we were doing, like, we're doing it for our kids, and yet we're missing all the moments with our kids. Like, well, wait a minute. Well, and we knew it was going to be a long project building our house, so it's not going to be done next month or even next year or even next 5 years. And so we had Marnie and I had a little meeting. We're like, what can we do? We feel like we're missing out. And so we started these family nights. And we're like, all right, Friday night is family night. Come 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever time we said in the beginning, like, that's it. Air guns down, drills down, like, we're done, period. I don't care if, like, the rafter's hanging and ready to blow off in the wind. I mean, we're done. Tie it down and pray for the best. It's family night, and we guard that. I mean, just diligently. And about a couple years later, we started looking back at some photos. You know, Marnie was printing stuff out, getting print. What do you call them? Pictures. You know, the photo books thing, photos, getting photos in our photo book. And so we were flipping through them, and probably about 3 or 4 years after we had started family night and had gotten a couple books printed, and we were looking through, and we're like, oh, man, you remember that moment? Oh, that was so cool. Hey, that was a family night. And so we started flipping through the pages. Oh, wow, remember when we built this little thing here? Oh, man, that was great. Oh, yeah, that was a Friday night. And just as we went through the book, memory after memory after memory that ended up in our book, out of the thousands of pictures that you take, ended up being from those family nights. It's worth creating some boundaries to let your family in.
Yeah, I was just, as you were talking there for a second, like, something that I've been, I don't know, that I feel God's been speaking into my heart is, I need to be willing to make the sacrifices that my kids need me to make, not the sacrifices that I'm willing to make, right? A lot of times we're willing to make sacrifices for our jobs or for our careers or for whatever, you know, our projects that we got to get done, right? Yep. But God has been telling me, no, Stephen, you need to make the sacrifices your kids are needing you to make. So pay attention, Stephen. What are your kids saying? What are they asking of you? Oh, and because a lot of times they'll ask me something, and I don't want to do it, in all honesty, like, because I'm tired. I've been working all day, and so I'm tired, and I don't want to. Dad, can we play, I don't know, Elliot, what was it last night? Can we play Smash Brothers, right? And what was I doing? I was laying on the couch. I'd just gotten in the house from splitting wood all day, and I just laid on the couch. Dad, can we play Smash Brothers? And moment of honesty, Elliot, did I play Smash Brothers with you last night? No, Nope.
I didn't. Supposed to answer yes.
But and I should have. And you know what? I had that still small voice in the back of my mind. Steven, this is one of those sacrifices that I've been telling you about. Steven, go away, God. I just want to sleep. Right? Yeah. So be willing. Pay attention to what your kids are asking you.
That's so good. And if you don't have little kids right now and you're zoned out, stop it. Tune into this because dads, parents, we need your influence in our life, whether we're 5 or whether we're 55. And just someone in that role that can just pour into our hearts and into our lives, please listen to the voice of God and help us out a little bit. We're just saying that your role doesn't end. Your role as a dad, the importance of that does not diminish one iota once your kids leave the house. I guess that's something that has stirred in my heart as well as of late. So anything else to add on what you've learned about being a dad?
Learning about being a dad, I was telling Kirk just a 5-second snippet, is learning to die to your own selfishness. That's what fatherhood is, learning to die to your own selfishness. And that's a tough, tough, tough thing to do. So, yeah, sorry.
I don't like that. I don't like that one. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, anyways, let's do a hard left and turn into our message just for a little bit. Some review. Psalm 119, verse 125. This is kind of one of the verses that we covered last time. And David is writing this, and he said, I'm your servant. Give me discernment that I might understand your statutes. We've been talking about show us your ways, teach us your ways. And then kind of the next progression to that in Philippians 1 that we haven't even actually got to yet, but it's about discernment. Discernment is tied in with showing us the ways of God. And so we defined it a little bit like this, to separate or distinguish, to see the difference between two or more things, the power of perceiving the differences of things or ideas. And that sounds super simple, but in real life it gets more tricky than we think it does. Sometimes, because you had said last time that so many times that we end up in sin or whatever, that at least on some level, we think it's good. Either it's good to my appetites, or it's good for me to do, or getting revenge feels good to my heart, you know. Ultimately, it leads to death, but something about it seems good in the moment. And so what discernment can do is it can distinguish, it can differentiate. And so often in our lives, guys, yeah, you may not even know that this is going on, but every day you're being faced with decisions, with choices about how I want to feel about something, how I want to view something, and they're all, like, there's a lot of them that are going to look right. They're going to feel right, they're going to look right, and they're absolutely wrong, and it's a bad path. And so what discernment can do is say, this looks good, this looks good, this looks good. I'm going to help you choose which one of those leads to destruction and which one of those leads to life. Because if we just continually are taking things at face value,
yeah, that's good.
If we're continually taking life as it comes to us at face value, and I'm not talking about being cynical or whatever, but just if we don't have discernment, then we just kind of end up reacting to every single little thing and kind of relying on fleshly means to differentiate what we should do. I know that's kind of a little bit in the weeds there, but we had up on the screen last time the game Bean Boozled. Anyone ever played Bean Boozled?
Just a week ago.
A week ago, yes.
Isaac, yes.
Great job. Did you get good ones or bad ones?
I got like one good one.
All right, all bad ones. Yeah, so we put up on the screen that the game Bean Boozled relies upon your lack of discernment. And this word, discernment, is what we're talking about here. You have no discernment on a yellow jelly bean with white polka dots on it that could be lemon or it could be baby diaper. And you would be amazed at how much those things taste like what they say they do. Yep. Yep. It could be chocolate or it could be something else. It could be lime or it could be grass clippings, you know, or booger. And it's just... Wow. Dog food is one of them. Vomit is one of them. Rotten egg is one of them. Could be popcorn or could be rotten egg. Yep.
Spoiled milk.
Yeah, spoiled milk or coconut. And so not to get into that again, but what what that game is saying and doing and why it's fun is because there's no way to discern two things that look identical. I don't know. Could be, I could have two rotten milks here. I could have two coconuts here. I could have one of each. I don't know. What's that? What's that game with the briefcases and Howie Mandel and?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Is that what it is? Oh no, not Deal or No Deal. That's what it
deal
is.
Or no deal?
Deal or No Deal.
We watched that for like a season or something.
I'm sorry, Regis. I mixed up your game show. Apologize.
I was going to try to do a Regis impression, but I don't think I can. So they relied upon your lack of discernment. This case looks exactly like this case. And what feels empowering about that is like, I think I know something about it, right? That's what the whole game is based on. You at home, you didn't do as good as you thought you did. Yes. You're like, yeah, I got most of those. And your wife's like, no, you said it out loud. You got like one of those. You would have lost $1 million. Because we feel like we've got some kind of inside track. I know, I can tell by the way the model's standing, or I know how last season they did it, or whatever. And we're using means that are totally inappropriate and ineffective to gauge my decision. Doesn't that sound familiar? Discernment gives us the right tool for being able to distinguish between options, choices, and feelings in our own heart. This is my feeling. This is how I'm feeling right now. If you deny that, that's a bad path. So how do we process that well? I'm offended. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm lonely. Are those evil? No, they're just your feelings. What you do with them is going to largely determine how well life is going to go for you, and even if you're going to end up walking in a sinful path. And so discernment helps us separate. Do you guys ever like have like a cord box? We have boxes of cords around here. As we've been redoing the sound system, this week we had the sound booth gutted. Both computers were out of there. We were going to try to do a soft switch, and then it ended up everything was so messed up in there. We just gutted everything, put our new computer in, moved the
only
other
for the fifth time.
I know,
since quarantine.
It's been crazy. So that was completely cleared out. We vacuumed and wiped down the sound booth inside, and it was super exciting. But then all the cords that we have extra go into a couple of my cord boxes. Steven, when you started on my cord boxes, what was the state of my cord boxes?
Oh my goodness. It was just chaos.
If you guys have a cord, maybe some extension cords or audio video cords at home, you know what happens? Like, you roll them up and you set them gently in the box. Somehow, I don't know what happens. I don't know if it's gnomes, elves, or intelligent mice. But somehow they play some kind of rerouting game with those cords so that in a year or two, what happens is you can grab one end of one cord, pick that up, and the entire box comes with. Yep, that's what happens. Leftover spaghetti, yeah, it comes out as a clump. Well, your cord box comes out as a clump. In your heart, a lot of our emotions, a lot of our are like what we call paradigms, the way that we're thinking about a situation, my actions from that, my thoughts about it, all of that stuff gets tangled up like your cord box. And what discernment can do, discernment from the Lord, we're talking about spiritual discernment here, what it can do is give our heart the opportunity to maybe take a step back and see, oh, that's a red cord and it's all wrapped through there. Well, I want to untangle that one. Ooh, that's a blue cord. That's bad. I want to get that one out of there. So let's untangle that one. Yellow. Well, that's glory, right? Okay, let's go for that one. That one's good. I don't know. It's the color game. So what we're saying is this stuff gets all jumbled up inside of you like a cord box. Like, you think you've got it neatly wrapped up in there, but it's one thing's affecting another thing, and discernment from the Lord will help you to say, no, if you act on that impulse, if you follow through with that line of thinking, it's starting out innocently, but discernment is going to say, no, that's going to end badly. So
yeah, and one thing to keep in mind, I know Kirk and I, we've talked about this in our conversations, is discernment is a spiritual gift, okay? That's what we need to remember. It's a spiritual gift. This isn't something that you can come at with your wisdom. Your wisdom is the opposite of discernment. Discernment is, if I were to define it, I would call it seeing things how God sees them.
That's
That's good.
Okay? Yep. Seeing what God sees or seeing how God sees something. Mm-hmm. And so you can't come across that through your humanity, unfortunately. Yeah. It's a spiritual gift to be able to see that. Because on a surface level, we could say a word like discernment and think, well, that's just knowing the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. That's easy. Mm-hmm. That's easy.
Right.
Is it, though? How many evil things have you found yourself doing that started off looking good to you? Like,
show of hands. Anyone ever ended up maybe on the wrong side of God's word and it started out completely innocent and you just did, you like, by the, you didn't even realize by the end of it.
Yeah. I was just going to read this. This is from Ephesians. This is chapter 4, verse 22. Paul's writing this. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. See, our flesh is deceiving. It makes us think we want that thing that we don't need. It deceives us, and we follow that path. Unfortunately, it always leads to death. It starts out looking good, but it always leads to death.
Trixie, precious.
Yes, definitely.
Trixie. And so, going to the next slide, backing up one slide here, remember this, Psalm 119, 125, this is a prayer of David. So this is going to come in to play later, but I'm your servant, that humility there, give me discernment that I might understand your statutes. David wrote that, okay? You guys ever heard of a guy by the name of Solomon? Raise your hand if you've heard of Solomon. Anyone ever heard of Solomon? Anyone ever watch Captain 11 when you were a kid? Talked about Solomon on there. The Wisdom of Solomon and the Strength of Atlas.
Really?
Yeah.
And Zeus, he was in there too.
I think so.
Strength of Atlas.
Yep, exactly. You are Captain 11. Hi, crew, how are you doing today? Right? I don't know. Because he talked about Solomon. So I always thought that was cool that he talked about Solomon when I was a kid.
And then he was the weatherman.
He was also the weatherman, yes. So we're getting to Solomon. So Solomon Solomon was David's son, okay? David just wrote that psalm, and then Solomon was his son. So after David passed along, Solomon got to be king. He was not the oldest son, so he shouldn't have been, but God had it lined up that Solomon would be king. So Solomon got to be king, and he was a young guy, and he was struggling with leading Israel, okay? And so he went to Gibeon, a place called Gibeon, and he offered 1,000 sacrifices of some kind, critters, and had this big sacrifice to the Lord there. And he went to sleep, and God gave him a dream, appeared to him in a dream, gave him the blank check, gave him the kind of the thing that we dream about. God said, what do you want me to do for you? I'll give you whatever you want. And so Solomon, this is Solomon's answer. This is in 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. I'm just going to read through this and then we'll back up a couple slides. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And so God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. He asks for discernment. God gives him a blank check, and he says, God, give me a discerning heart. Give me discernment. And God was pleased with that. Let's back up a little bit. This is Solomon. First, I don't know, you guys ever been woken up in the middle of the night?
Yes.
Bumping into walls, you don't know, where am I at, what's like that? And I know this isn't Solomon waking up, but he's in a dream. I love that Solomon had the presence of mind to have this conversation. And I'm thinking about some of my dreams. I don't know that this is the conversation that I'd be having with God. I love that Solomon could have this coherent conversation, and of course it was a God dream. God appeared to him in this dream, and that it kind of uncovered Solomon's heart here. And our heart gets exposed in the moment. Mm-hmm. We plan for things, but exposure happens in the moment. When your water heater breaks, when company's coming over, or the oven quits working that morning.
Or your air conditioner capacitor cuts out at you at 1:30 in the morning.
It's true. We were out the other night at 1:30 in the morning. Marnie's holding a flashlight, and I was trying to take a capacitor off of an air conditioner. And then realized it has 400 volts in it, and realized I didn't want to touch that at 1:30 in the morning. If I'm going to die, let it be in the light, Lord. Yes. So we went and changed it out the next morning. It was bad, and super neighbor had a capacitor on hand, of course, and so we got air conditioning. That was on that 95-degree day. So, but it's revealed in that I did not lose my cool in that moment. Yes, yeah. Marnie has had a statement to me a couple times lately.
Who are you?
Yes.
And what have you done with my husband?
Here's what she'll come up to me in one of those moments, and she'll say, I'm not sure if God's growing you or if you're just broken. Because you're not acting in typical Kirk form here. Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Okay. Well, then there must be a God thing happening in you. God's developing some character in you because pretty shaky before, and like, I don't know. So I just wanted to know if you're about to have a mental breakdown and just you can't handle life anymore, and you're just off the deep end, or is that God doing something? Fortunately, it's been God doing something. So you're revealed in the moment, and it's those moments. When we think about our life, and like, I don't know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this, but guys, I think most guys kind of think about, I'll ask you, have you ever thought about like saving someone's life?
Yes, I have.
Guys kind of have this fantasy of like rushing into a burning building or something. That's just wired into us from God. So we always think like, oh yeah, if a bear attacked, I'd totally do this or that, you know, like, or whatever. If all of a sudden, all the terrorists showed up, here's what I would do. You know, like, we kind of play out these scenarios in our mind, yeah. Right? Well, from little boys on, we have these fantasies of how we, like, mine was always on a school bus. Thanks, Joe. Mine was on a school
bus.
Were
you the driver or one of the passengers?
I was when I was a kid.
Oh.
When I was a kid.
Oh, gotcha.
I would always think of, what would happen if the bus driver had a heart attack right now and just died, and the
exactly.
bus is going down the road.
Yes, like ready to go over
yeah,
a cliff.
Oh, I know yeah. what I would do.
Run to the front.
Run to the front. I jump in the seat and I pull him out of there and I hit the thing on the floor. No, I was going to be a hero.
Yep. Pull the e-brake yep. and the bus will just swerve right around.
Yep.
The back end will yep. actually spin over the edge of the cliff. And then, exactly.
Yep.
And you'd get the kids home before
get out.
Supper.
Get out. Children, you're safe now.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Exactly. And that's kind of just built into us. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so that's why. And so we like to think that that's how moments are going to plan out and play out mm-hmm. is how we dream about them. Reality is a little bit more different
yes,
from that
indeed.
Story, isn't it? I don't know if you guys have had a moment lately where your heart's been revealed. They're actually happening all the time, but we just call them frustrations and dumb things that go wrong in life, but it reveals what's in there. I love this moment where Solomon's heart is revealed. God shows up to him, and it's revealed. How did he know to ask God for discernment? How did he know that that's what he needed in life? He watched his dad. It was modeled for him. That prayer that David prayed, and it found its way into Psalm 119. I'm guessing that wasn't the only time David ever prayed that. God, give me discernment. God, give me discernment. And that's a different prayer. And it was, give me a discernment that I might understand your laws, your commandments. God, I don't want to just follow you. I don't want to just do the right things. I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to have your discernment so that I can see the beauty behind your commandments, so that I can see the heart that's portraying these commandments. And so he said it in this verse here. He answers, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you, and he was righteous, and he was upright in heart." Like, those are things that Solomon instantly knew about his dad because it was modeled for him. And so I was just... You look like you're ready to...
I was going to take you to David's words to Solomon. This is David kind of on his deathbed here. And listen to his words. This is 1 Chronicles 28, and I'm going to read verse 9. Again, this is David's dying words to his son. "And you, my son, Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you." Isn't that great? Like, that's him pulling his son close to him. And what is he going to tell him? Seek the Lord with wholehearted devotion. And it was something like you're talking about. It's something that David had already been modeled. It wasn't like, "Here, this is advice I wish I would have followed, but you now follow it." No, this is something that I've made consistent in my life. Mm-hmm. Please carry that on.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have a legacy, let it be this.
If you want to know what creates an entrance for rebellion in your kids' lives at any age, is advice that isn't lived out in your own life. Kind of this hypocrisy of just, "I'm going to tell you to do that, but I don't walk that way in my own life." And I'm not, guys, nobody's perfect. So we're not saying don't ever say anything unless you've got it nailed perfectly. No, it's heart and intention. Boy, we got to be pressing after the things of God. But I just love that Solomon immediately knew that David was faithful, that he was righteous, he was upright in heart. And I was just thinking about a couple things that I learned from my dad. What did my dad model for me? Wisdom comes to mind right away. Just my dad thought through his decisions carefully. We always talk about, he always would say, life's a series of choices. Life's full of choices. You're making choices all the time. You're making decisions every day. You're choosing. And how you walk through those choices is going to be kind of what your life ends up being. So just the wisdom of my dad had an impact on me, and just his even-keeledness. And then also his integrity. Just loved that he was who he said he was. There wasn't pretense. Loved his hunger for God. And I would say probably mostly is his faithfulness. His faithfulness to my family, his faithfulness to Jesus, his faithfulness to do the right thing at the right time, even when it was hard or unpopular or whatever. Just things that I learned from my dad. And been blessed to have Jimmy Fred in my life since before we were married. We used to share that where our gather room is now. That was our office together. And so we got up and close and personal. And lots of trips together and close proximity and lots of time at the concert house for one reason or another. And exactly.
Did you know, Jim, that he was using you. No, I'm kidding.
So been so blessed to have your life modeled for me. And just was thinking about that, and you guys as well, but just your life, knowing that it's always the right choice to invest in people.
Amen.
It's always that, just it always is. Well, what if you're going to get burned? What about the? You got to be wise, but at the same time, it's always the right choice to invest in people. It's always the right choice to give your life to people. And I've just watched you model that over the years. And it's a blessing. I've watched your passion for God and just the hunger for not being satisfied. Just not like, it would be easy for you with what you've been through, you know, just not just the bottom moments, but the pinnacle moments, you know, just, man, we've seen this, to really just kind of camp out there. Like, yep, that's how God does things. And just been excited about over the years of you're like, no, what is God saying? Not what God has God said, but what is he saying? What is he doing right now? What's the Father doing? And let's press into that. Let's keep moving forward. Let's not let our lives get stagnant and stale. Let's keep moving forward. So those are just a couple of the many, many things.
Yeah, and you know, for me, for my dad, just a model of generosity has been something that I've tried to cultivate in my life. You know, just that's kind of his legacy, and that's what I want to kind of portray in my legacy for my kids, is just living a life of generosity. And I've been cutting wood for the last 3 days, and God told me when I was cutting wood that I was going to be giving every single log away. and that's a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of effort and energy, but I just knew, I'm like, that's what I'm going to do, and God's going to bless me. And that's what my dad taught me, and that's what I'm just going to do. There's no reason for me not to do it, because I've seen it lived out.
And it's a beautiful legacy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we learned servanthood from Andy too. Mm-hmm. How many projects are on the church? And just, amen. You need it done? All right, I'm on it. Mm-hmm. And just thank you, Andy, for your years of loving Jesus well.
Yes.
Thank you for doing that. So we catch that from our dads. We catch those things. And that's why Solomon was in a position, because he saw that lived out. And we'll talk about this. We're going to end here, but kind of talk about it next time a little bit. But towards the end of Solomon's life, things didn't go so well for his heart. He let his wives kind of pull his heart to false gods, or, you know, just whatever. Just that invaded his life, and that just really fractured his relationship with God. And he started out watching his father's heart, and then he carried that heart for a while and had this relationship with God. And it's interesting that he started out his walk with God praying for discernment. God, I want discernment. Give me discernment. Help me know the difference. And at the end of his life, he died, and then his son Rehoboam was king. And the very first act that Rehoboam did, he had to make a decision. And the elders of the community came to him and talked about, give the people what they want, and they'll serve you for all of their days. But the young people came and told him, no, you can't do that. You need to be even harder. We're going to get these people to do what we want them to. And in that moment, he had two options. And you know what he needed? Rehoboam needed discernment, because they both sounded like great viable options. And how sad that Solomon's life started with a prayer for discernment, and the demise of Israel as a united kingdom ended with Solomon's son with a lack of discernment. So it's not only that prayer for discernment, it's keeping our heart continually pressing after the things of God. So that's our challenge for today, not just for dads, but for all of us. Let's keep our hearts sensitive and pursuing the things of God. We want to live our days well, because it's 24/7, guys. People are watching. Our kids are watching. Let's not do it out of the, like, that's just an awareness thing. That's not why we do it. Let's love God, because he's worthy of us loving him. He's so good. And Jesus just told us it's the way to life. So let's be diligent in doing that. Until next time, have a great Father's Day. Love your dads well if they're still around, and cherish the memories that you have if they're not. And we love you all, and we will see you next time.